Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Are you hungry? I am too. Well, always. Every month, a 7 Days food writer joins us to talk about local food, restaurant openings and closings, and other big news from our region's food world. This month, we are joined by Jordan Berry of Virgens. She holds a master's degree in food studies, and she's previously produced podcasts about bread and beverages. She is a writer with 7 Days. Jordan, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Was the podcast about bread and beverages, or was it one about bread and one about beverages?
They were separate.
Okay.
Sometimes overlapping, but often separate.
Okay. Everything. All glutinous, yes. Which is good. Well, what have you been up to recently? What have you been eating?
Oh my gosh, mostly breakfast. Mm. I had, funny enough, 2 breakfast stories this week. The new location of Haymaker Bun Company, which is, they've been in Middlebury since, I think, 2018. They opened in Burlington's Soda Plant just a few weeks ago, and I got to eat their breakfast sandwich, which instead of an English muffin or a bagel, it is one of their savory brioche buns cut in half with eggs and sausage and all the good stuff in between. Wow, it knocked me out. It was so good. And then I went over to Vermont Comedy Club, which you wouldn't think of as a real food destination. The owner, Natalie, told me that the brief is usually things you can eat with your hands in the dark. But they promoted a new chef back in November who, he's Palestinian and grew up in a refugee camp in Lebanon. His name is Mo Aldouki, and he has started bringing his Middle Eastern flavors to the menu for the club, but also in their Happy Place Cafe, which is open during the day. And they've got like 7 different kinds of breakfast burrito, some of his hummus that was his mom's recipe, and then this incredible Arabic breakfast platter, which is like totally epic. It's got hummus, baba ganoush, a za'atar omelet, pita chips, like a big spread.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great to know, because I think a lot of people might not realize that the Vermont Comedy Club is open in the day, has this cafe where people can go.
Yeah.
And 7 different kinds of burritos.
I know. Hmm. Yeah, wild.
Also a good food to eat in the dark.
Yes. Like, yeah, and Mo, that chef, he's an aspiring comedian as well. So I did a Q&A with him for the paper, and it's got a lot of his jokes, which they're pretty dark. We didn't get really into that. I tried to keep him focused on food jokes, but he described them as a long walk to a silly little joke, which lots of puns.
Very excited to read that. If you have eaten somewhere new, maybe somewhere unexpected recently, and want to tell us about it, give us a call at 800-639-2211. You can also email your restaurant recommendations from your area to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. And we're going to compile all the places that we mention into a list in the show notes for today's show. So, are there any restaurants, you mentioned a couple of new places, are there any restaurants that you have recently found yourself going to again and again and again?
Still for breakfast. And this is a new thing for me. I have a 1-year-old son, so I think I'm up earlier in the day than I ever have been in my life. but I've been loving Queen City Cafe on Pine Street in Burlington. That's the former Myers bagel spot, which they moved up onto Shelburne Road. They make the best wood-fired biscuits, and they use the same oven that Myers used for
years.
Oh, that
big wood-fired oven.
Big wood-fired oven. And I found that that's a great place to sit and do some work. They really love to let you sit and hang out, and they've got Wi-Fi, and you can, I think in the winter it's going to be really cozy because you can kind of see the flames of the fire, and it's a lot of like luxe furniture. So I've been going there a lot. And then the Old Brick Store in Charlotte is another staple of mine. They had new owners last year who've really changed it up inside. And they make a chorizo breakfast burrito that I eat at least once a week. I try to stick to once a week.
Oh,
sometimes it's twice.
Breakfast expert over here.
And we recently did a huge story about diners in Vermont, which Melissa Passanen and I, my colleague, we usually don't get to go back to places. That's, you know, we always are looking at what's new and what's next. But we love diners, and they're all over the state, and they're such classic parts of our Vermont communities. They're like kind of like general stores in a way, where people really gather at them. And we thought of diners as, you know, these places where they're usually really affordable. People go at least once a week. Some people go many times a day. But they face all the same problems that restaurants in all parts of the industry face. So we went from Bennington to Coventry, Lindenville, Colchester, all over the state.
Did you hit up the Miss Lindenville?
I did. I got to go there.
One of my favorites.
Yes. And we had very strict guidelines. They had to be a classic diner car, which Miss Lindenville doesn't look like one, but it is rebuilt around one that burnt down. So the bones are still there. And I have a friend who's sort of a diner expert, and I brought her along, and she's like, yeah, it counts because the stools are bolted to the ground at the counter. So that was our other criteria. And it wasn't a comprehensive list by any means, but it was really fun to kind of revisit these beloved places. And I learned just how full you can be if you eat diner meals back to back, because I was doing like Coventry, Martha's Diner, and Miss Lindenville, which are maybe 40 minutes apart. And we would go for breakfast and then for lunch.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, my poor husband in central Vermont, he had a breakfast burrito at Country Girl. And then 15 minutes later, we went to Springfield Diner and he had a patty melt and he was very uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh, that makes my stomach hurt to hear about. Well, it also sort of answers my next question for you, which was, are you a sweet or savory person when you're at a diner? But it sounds like you didn't have to choose.
Yeah, I made the mistake at Martha's of doing biscuits with sausage gravy, which is my favorite if it's on the menu, and a pancake. So
that
was, I thought I was really clever when I did it. And then I remembered that we were going to go have lunch. So, but one thing that more than one of the diner owners told me is that it's going to stick with me and I'm going to keep doing it is eat pie for breakfast. Mm. So many of these places make their own pies or have bakers in the town that make pie for them. They are like full of seasonal fruits and there's no reason to have it for dessert. Just eat it first thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's a little bit of a snooty question for you. Did you go to any diners that happened to also have really good coffee?
The coffee thing, I'm a coffee snob for sure. I worked in a cafe when I lived in New York City, and I've subsisted on it for my entire life, it feels like, at this point.
I'm glad we can be honest with one another. I am too.
But I love, a not so great diner cup of coffee. It feels like a different thing to me. Like, it's part of the ambiance. I want the worn mug.
The thick white mug.
Yes, exactly. But I was surprised the Parkway Diner in South Burlington serves cold brew, and they'll give it to you in the big, tall, bumpy red Coca-Cola glasses.
Amazing.
And it was way too much cold brew for one setting. But it was better than what I think of as a normal diner cup.
So. Well, it sounds like you needed it.
Yeah.
Doing all of this research. And I imagine it was fun to get out of, you're in Addison County, but I imagine you report a lot in Chittenden County. And I bet this story brought you all over the state.
Yeah, it did. And it was funny. I'm actually originally from Bennington County. And Melissa went to the Blue Bend, which was the one I grew up going to. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to go revisit parts of the state we don't always get to.
Yeah.
Because they're all over. Diners are everywhere.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we have talked to Melissa in the past, your colleague Melissa Pastanen, about going up to Montreal to report. Do you ever get to, if you were to leave Vermont for a food specific reason, where would you go in our region?
I love going up to Montreal. Haven't recently. The last story I did about that was actually published the day I was in the hospital giving birth to my son.
Wow.
Which I didn't go for that one. It was more of a talking to Vermont chefs about where they eat in Montreal. But I am planning a trip to Portland, Maine area in September, and I'm really excited to go there and eat some of their incredible food. They just kind of cleaned up some of the James Beard Awards for our region, especially the bakers. So I'm really excited to check out stuff there and eat some really good seafood.
Oh, that's great. Back to Chittenden County, one big event that just occurred was Brewfest. Mm-hmm. If you were in Burlington this past weekend, you probably saw all the crowds, some of them kind of swaying a bit as the day got later. Were you able to go?
I was. I had the pleasure of moderating some panels in what they call the fermentation tent, which is a new offering last year. A little bit of education with your beer sampling, but we did have a lot of fun. It was very casual. Each session, there were three, one for each of the Brewfest sessions. We had a brewer and two non-beer fermenters, but people who either chefs, or we had bakers, cheesemakers, coffee producers, and it's like a non-alcoholic drink makers. And we just got together and kind of talked about the magic of fermentation and got really nerdy about it. I promised the audience that it wasn't going to be technical. And then it quickly veered into like deep science and like saying the names of yeast strains.
Well, this is a particular interest of yours, right? Like this is what you studied in graduate school.
Yeah.
Is hard cider?
Yes. Yeah. My graduate school research was about language development in the hard cider industry. So like coming up with a dictionary or a lexicon for cider producers, the way that winemakers and beer brewers often kind of already have like established language. So yeah, I should have known it was going to get nerdy, but it got nerdy very quickly.
That's great. Well, it looked very fun. I was sad to miss it. I saw it from afar. Could you tell us, we always try to save a minute or two in these conversations about some places that have closed recently, a little note to remember some well-loved restaurants by.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a roundup in last week's paper to go along with our cover story about the revitalization of St. Johnsbury. We unfortunately had the news that Kingdom Tap Room has closed. That was kind of a subterranean bar that was really credited with being one of the first businesses to rejuvenate the scene for dining and drinking in St. Johnsbury. I think something will go in there very quickly. It seems like a really positive place right now. Marco's Pizza, which took over the Big Daddy's spot on Lower Church Street in Burlington, has closed. That space is up for lease. And we just reported this week that Junior's Williston and Sidebar, which is the kind of second location of what was Junior's original, now Junior's Winooski, they now have separate owners. The Williston location is closed. The owner said he was hoping to reopen, but for now it seems like they've sort of cleared it out. So sad to lose that. The arcade and the bar on the side was pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I've also been thinking since the flooding a few weeks ago, if there were any restaurants or maybe farms with farm stands that were hit pretty hard that maybe we could draw some light to.
Yeah, I was really surprised on the restaurant front to not see as much as we had the year before. In Waterbury, I saw the day kind of the flooding was coming. People were just pulling everything out of the basement and, you know, hoping for the best. And most of them were open the next day. I know Vermont Beer Collaborative, which is formerly Craft Beer Cellar, they were pouring pints first thing in the morning the next day. So that was amazing to see. The farms were not as lucky. We have a big story today from one of our summer interns, Jack McGuire, about kind of following up with a lot of farmers, particularly in the Intervale, which, you know, it's such fertile farmland down there in Burlington by the river, but that means it floods, and it floods pretty quickly. It's unfortunately become sort of a regular thing that they put out calls for volunteers the day that a flood is coming to kind of pull everything out of the ground as much as they can. The Pitchfork Farm in the Intervale lost all 26 acres of its planting, and they've had to lay off workers, so it's really hard to see that. You hope that folks show up to buy what they were able to harvest. Is a lot of those crops are, you know, they don't last very long. So the farmers market weekends immediately after a flood are a really important time to get out and shop with your local farmers directly, because they're trying to get rid of as much as they can to kind of get as much money as they can from what would otherwise be a loss.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And you know, we're also here keeping track of some of the farmers that we've spoken to over the last few weeks in our flood coverage as well. You can find that information on vermontpublic.org. And speaking of farms, Jordan, I wonder if there's a particular food, maybe a dish or a fruit or vegetable that is particularly in season right now. I mean, everything's in season right now, which is great, but something that you are just really adoring eating because it's growing locally.
Blueberries. It might be because of the aforementioned one-year-old. He is a blueberry fiend. But we, I think, are keeping Sweet Roots and Charlotte in business with how many that the two of us have been eating. We like to share. And I have not confirmed, but I have heard that they've brought the blueberry creamies back. They used to be Charlotte, when it was Charlotte Berry Farm, they were known for making blueberry creamies. And I need to go confirm that for myself maybe later today after I pick him up from daycare.
Oh, very curious about that. I am a black raspberry creamy person, a little bit more so than maple creamies. I'm so no one attack me, please. We'll have an ice cream show very soon and you can talk about it with me then. But I've never had a blueberry one. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I'm also really into being able to go to a farm stand and get everything I need to make a BLT. Just down the road from Sweet Roots is Head Over Fields, which has a great kind of retail farm stand with their own stuff, as well as the bacon, the bread, and everything you need from other area producers. So I walked out of there with gorgeous, like, yellow and green stripy tomatoes, and went home and made the best BLT of the season, which is usually the first one, you know, you really, when everything's finally ready and tasting good.
Yes. And that's so fun to go to the farmer's market with a very specific dish in mind. You get to get all of the ingredients. We just got an email from a listener named Jonathan, who wrote, Danville is not known as a culinary mecca, but Huang's Noodle Shop and Three Ponds Restaurant are both worthy of a visit. So thank you, Jonathan, for shouting those two places out. And if you have a restaurant recommendation you'd like us to include in our roundup this month, you can send it to us at VermontEdition@vermontpublic.org. Jordan Berry with 7 Days. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a treat.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find Jordan's latest articles on 7daysvt.com or in print.